Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. It is the Transfer Insight Show with Goals, Neil Jones. You can also catch him on Instagram. Neil, what is your Instagram? Because it's new. What is it, mate?
It is at Neil Jones Goal, same as the Twitter, same as the Facebook. Make it a uniform across the board. So that's the, one of the big social media tips. So yeah, get on the Instagram.
Yeah, get on to it. I follow it. It's good. You need to follow it as well, Neil. Thank you very much for joining us today. You can obviously go and check out any of Neil's articles on goal.com as well. He's written quite a few over the last sort of week or something. We'll be discussing a few of them over the course of this show and Transfer Insight Extra over on our streaming service, theredmentv.com. So go and check those out. Thank you to everyone who has joined us live. If you've got any questions for Neil, please leave them in the comments as well. If you've got questions for me, you can leave them in the comments as well. We're going to start off with a story around Jadon Shaqiri. Obviously, you wrote a story a couple of days ago now about Jadon, didn't you, Neil? And stated that he wants to move on. Can you let us sort of know the update on that, if there is one, or just the story in general?
He's joined up with the squad, so that's the update. He turned up. He looked absolutely delighted to be there, didn't he? Getting out of his luxury vehicle yesterday at the team hotel in Austria. Him and Thiago, I think, both arrived similar time. He said it himself. I mean, there were quotes. Funny enough, the story emerged around the same time as the quote, so it was sort of quite handy that he managed to verify my story by his own quotes. But he's looking. Liverpool are willing to sell first and foremost, and Shaqiri's willing to leave, and that makes a deal pretty likely this summer. There's interest from at least four clubs: two in Italy, two in Spain. So you've got Lazio and Napoli in Italy, and you've got Sevilla and Villarreal in Spain. Now, Sevilla and Villarreal have been pretty keen on a loan deal, which Liverpool aren't. Liverpool, you know, if they're going to get rid of Shaqiri, they may as well sell him and get some money in. And I think the likelier scenario is that he goes to Lazio or Napoli. I think his quotes that he gave to Corriere dello Sport said he would welcome the chance to play in Italy. I think he admires the league. He's obviously played there before at Inter Milan back in the day. I think he was also quite complimentary about Maurizio Sarri, who's just gone in at Lazio as well, and said that he feels like that would suit his style of play. And I don't think anyone could really argue with what he said. He said that the age he's at and that the amount of time he spent at Liverpool, he wants to play games. He wants to, you know, he's 29. He's obviously the main man still for Switzerland, as he proved at the Euros in the summer. And he hasn't really played too many games, you know, so few appearances, not necessarily down to selection, often down to injury and, you know, ill-timed injuries. But I think it's one of those where circumstances dictate, really. I think that he really wants to start playing football. It might be, you know, his last big move or his last, you know, high profile move. And I don't think anyone would begrudge him it, even if I'm of the opinion that, you know, he's a very useful player for Liverpool to have in their squad. I know I've often felt like Liverpool could have got a bit more out of him, you know, used him in more scenarios, and been quite frustrated when he's been injured at certain times, when you think, oh, Liverpool really could have used him off the bench in this game and that game. But, you know, he still left some pretty decent memories if he does move on. You know, you think of the Barcelona game, you think of scored in a derby against Everton, he scored against Manchester United off the bench in those two goals. So, you know, he's decent sort of career at Liverpool, but maybe I would have liked to have seen a bit more from him.
Yeah, I think I'm the same. I think, you know, for me, it was always a player that really is talented, but maybe just wasn't quite suited to the system or wasn't utilised in quite the same way. I sort of said this the other day, but I think, you know, he's not good enough for Liverpool to build a team around. and he's maybe not quite good enough in Liverpool's system either. He sort of falls between the cracks somewhere there for me. But a player that I've always enjoyed watching, you know, when he plays in that sort of 10, you think of that through ball to Diogo Jota really on in last season. I mean, he's got the vision, he's got the skill set, his delivery is absolutely brilliant when he's got time. So yeah, a player that maybe just deserves to go and move on. I think Klopp, as we know, likes to keep players who are happy and understands that, you know, they might have worked hard over the last 3 years and probably deserves that one last chance at first team football.
Sorry, Chris, you've also got Harvey Elliott, who sort of looks like a ready-made sort of person who can step in, obviously a much younger version of a much younger player. And someone a left footer who maybe can play in midfield. We've seen him playing there in pre-season. He can play off the right. He's not a pace merchant. He's a footballer who can pick a pass and set goals up and got a good, you know, good delivery on him. So maybe that plays into Liverpool's thinking that, you know, you can sort of move him out, make some money, and also just, you know, seamlessly replace him with this, you know, young prodigy who's done pretty well at Blackburn and has got a big future at the club.
What are we thinking? Are we thinking 15 million quid is what Liverpool will hold out for?
Yeah, well, he's got.
Do you think he'll go for 15, or do you think he'll go for sort of 13?
Yeah, it's funny because I think we discussed. Me and Paul, I think it was last week, discussed Harry Wilson and sort of said Liverpool want 15, probably closer to 10, and then obviously he goes for 12, and we almost called it. You know that was what would be the case, and I wouldn't be surprised if something similar with Shaqiri. I mean, he's got 2 years left on his deal. He's got one guaranteed, and then Liverpool had the option for an extra year. So he's not, you know. Liverpool are negotiating from a position of he's got 2 years left on his deal, so they're not going to get, you know, the pants pulled down in that regard, or, you know, with him being in the last year of his contract, they've got a bit of leeway there. But yeah, I think he's worth close to 15 million. I think if you look at Wilson going for 12, I know he's younger, but Shaqiri's CV, you know, it matches up to that and exceeds that. So I wouldn't be surprised if Liverpool got closer to 15 than 10 in this instance.
Okay, we're going to do a new section on this show called Shoot the Shit. And this is where we look at all of the rumours, Neil, and I'm sure this is your absolute favourite. Because you've kind of done this with today's article anyway, which we'll discuss on the Transfer Insight X over on the RedmanTV.com anyway. I am going to start with someone that's probably not been mentioned so much and just want to know whether you've heard any inklings of Liverpool's interest in this player, and that's Mikael Damsgaard from Sampdoria. You know, right. Midfielder, a little bit Coutinho-esque. I've heard that Liverpool might have a slight interest in him. Have you heard anything yourself?
No, nothing at all. I mean, he was one of the stars of the Euros, wasn't he? I did a piece for Goal where they asked for just sort of unsung heroes, or sort of, you know, under the radar heroes, and he was one I picked, actually. And that was before even the England game towards the semis. I think that was after the group stage. Looks a good player. Looks a real talent, obviously quite small, diminutive, good, you know, good end product, and yeah, a lot of energy around him, and got a big reputation. I haven't heard that Liverpool have been signing him. I'm, you know, not entirely sure where he would fit as a Liverpool player. I mean, you mentioned Coutinho there as a sort of thing. You know, Coutinho was sort of halfway between being a third midfielder and a third forward, wasn't he? And potentially Damsgaard's probably more of a forward, but I haven't heard anything on that grapevine. It's what I would describe as a predictable link, given that he had such a good tournament and he's playing at a club like Sampdoria, where you would look at it on the face and say you could get him out of there, you know. But probably this summer his values, I would imagine, gone up significantly given his performances for Denmark.
Okay, next name is probably a player that most Liverpool fans would like to see, but I can already guess that the answer on this one is going to be a no. Barella, another lad who had a great Euros, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, you'd go for that entire Italy side. I'm sure there'll be another Italian coming up shortly in this section. But yeah, another one. I think, to be honest, I was asked about Barella by one of our Italian correspondents for Goal, probably 2-3 years ago when I'd first joined Goal. Obviously he moved to Inter since then, and he was coming through, and I remember checking that out, and there was no interest. That was a while back, and that was before he'd obviously gone to the high level. I don't think so, but I don't think there'll be that kind of, I mean, a lot of these answers apply to the other players that will come up. I'm sure, you know, if you want me to move on to Sal Niguez, he sort of moves into that category that you're looking at Liverpool. The type of player they're going to buy is going to be a sort of a a developer, a player who's going to, you know, grow into being a star, who maybe isn't already at an established club, who's going to come and, you know, grow at Liverpool. Sal's a bit different. He's a bit more established, obviously, and would therefore command a bigger wage, I imagine, probably a bigger transfer fee or similar. And Liverpool have got a lot of negotiating to do with contracts, and it's going to be difficult for them to justify going into Fabinho and Alisson and Van Dijk and saying, by the way, we've just given a quarter of a million pound a week to Sal Niguez, but we're going to offer you this. You know, it really complicates that situation. So I think you're looking at it, I'll say a rung down. I know that won't go down particularly well with people, but I think you're looking at more, you think of someone like Jota would be the type of profile you're looking at as a Liverpool signings. I think it's someone who's coming from a club like that, who's got good pedigrees on the way up. Damsgaard probably is someone who fits in that mould, but is not already established at the elite level yet, and is going to look to do that at Liverpool.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about Sal Niguez then, because that seems to be one that's sort of rumbling on. It's first Liverpool are ready in bids, then they're not, then they're ready in bids again. It just seems to be back and forth with just rumour and conjecture at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, we've done this show and where it was reported a bid has been made or rejected or knocked back, and now they're ready in a bid. And look, unfortunately, the info is from the sources I've spoken to, and it's more than one, is that there's very little chance of that happening this summer. I think he's available. I think he's a player who probably there's a fair chance he does move on in this window. But the money that they're talking in terms of his wages, especially, but transfer fee as well, is just, well, Liverpool don't deem it viable. They don't deem it that he'd be the highest paid midfielder, for example, at the club, and I don't think that's a situation they want to be in, especially when they've got Jordan Henderson's contract situation bubbling. They've got Thiago, obviously, who's come to the club. They're trying to give Fabinho a new deal.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Yeah, I mean, he's a very good player. He's got admirers within the club in terms of the way he plays, but I don't see him ending up at Liverpool. I have put my head up on that one, so potentially I could be getting a bullet through the forehead before the end of the window on that one. But I don't think so. I don't see him signing for Liverpool. If he does, I'll be quite happy to be wrong, because he's a very good player and, you know, a player who'd be lovely to see in the Premier League.
What about Dusan Vlahovic, Fiorentina striker? Yeah. The Telegraph are reporting that one. Doesn't seem your normal sort of Marsh's type of...
Yeah,
It's got a bit more to it, this one, but is there anything there, do you think?
I haven't seen it. I literally haven't seen it. I haven't even checked it out. I've seen him linked quite... I mean, I think did he score sort of 8 goals recently in a friendly? I'm sure Fiorentina must have played. God knows who they played, you know, my old Saturday league team potentially. But he scored 8 or a fair few goals the other day in a friendly, and I saw that he'd been linked with a few clubs. I think Villa might have been one of them that he was linked with.
Tottenham are the other interested party, according to the Telegraph.
Tottenham are quite easy to link at a striker to at this stage, aren't they, with obviously the Kane situation. I suppose Villa fit into that with the Grealish situation as well. I haven't heard Liverpool in there, you know, to be honest. I couldn't pretend to know too much about that story or even that player, to be perfectly honest. It's one that's, you've caught me on the hop on that one.
No problem. I like the honesty. It's always appreciated. One that we're really clutching at straws with is apparently Raiola offered Pogba to Liverpool.
Oh, I know. I hadn't seen that until earlier today, and I was like, "Look, I think I can be quite comfortable on this one. Let's forget about that one. You know, in terms, silly season, but." I mean, it's interesting because Raiola's one that Liverpool don't really, you know, they've had Balotelli off with Raiola in the past, and I think there's an edge for Liverpool not to get too drawn into the crazy world of Mino. And Daniel Malin was one who obviously was linked early in the summer, and I think part of the reason Liverpool didn't really want to go too deep into that one was the, you know, his agent Raiola, and he's subsequently moved on to Dortmund. I know there were some rumours this week that he was getting some big money from Dortmund. But yeah, Pogba's not coming to Liverpool, you know. let's have it right. We'll end up Paris Saint-Germain probably on a free next summer. It'd be fun though. It'd be fun to see the reaction if it was to happen.
The mad thing is, he's top quality. He's a brilliant footballer. Every time you watch him play for the international team, you think, what? Yeah, that lad's just got all of it, hasn't he? Like, and yet not able to do it at Manchester United for the most part of his career there. And listen, one of the things before we end the show, you put a great article out this morning, I think, sort of putting sort of opinion into the piece as well, about Liverpool's transfer situation and at the moment. And I think, you know, just to sort of tee it up a little bit for you, for anyone who's not read the article already, you've kind of just run the rule over Liverpool's summer so far, where you think it's going to go and what your thoughts and feelings are. So can you explain a bit more about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, it's hard, isn't it? Because you know what it's like. I mean, we're doing these shows, so you know that we're being asked every single day, what about this? What about this? What about this? Why aren't they doing this? Why are they doing this? Why are we hearing this and not this and whatever else? And it's hard because when my job really isn't to dictate Liverpool's transfer policy or whatever. It's to report it. And it's hard sometimes when Liverpool are doing not much, although I do find it sort of bizarre. I mean, I there was a guy on my Facebook page, and I'm not criticizing him, but it just made me laugh that I put up that I was coming on this show, and he said, what are you going on a show for that for? We've had zero ins. I was like, well, they haven't, because they've signed a player for 36 million, you know. And it's almost like, well, that doesn't count, you know. Like, what's tomorrow's deal, you know? Even when you sort of, and even if you were to announce the link, people say, yeah, but we need the right back as well, or we need the whatever. And it's that sort of, the impatience stands out a lot on social media. And this summer, I actually share some of the impatience, you know, and I think that's the doubt about the policy. I think I can't believe Liverpool could get into the season and their sort of, their idea would be Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain playing as a number nine, or Naby Keita's going to stay fit and that'll be everything, will be great. Or, you know, Divock Origi's going to deliver again. You know, I think those things are, I think it's a mistake. I think they're mistakes going into the season. And I think Liverpool are in a position where they got a lot of momentum in the second half of last season. They got more momentum coming by players returning from injury. They've got a good centre-back in Konate who helps the squad. And I just think this is the time really to maybe just take that one gamble with a forward and say, you know what, yeah, we probably don't feel like we absolutely need him, but he's available and we can get him, and let's go. Let's do that, and let's give ourselves a better chance of winning the league, winning the Champions League, you know, challenging Manchester City, and also then evolving the squad. But within all that, that's just my opinion. Within all that is Liverpool's opinion, and Liverpool's opinion is, at the moment, it's quite difficult for them to find the players that they feel are, A, good enough to improve the team, B, financially responsible, and also allow them to do what all the other admin around retaining the key players, the core players that they've got. And that's why there's a mention in it, and I know that will cause some consternation, I think, but of next summer, is that they're already sort of talking a little bit about, well, we know that next summer there's no excuse really. There's going to have to be some big moves going, you know, whether it's Firmino's replacement, whether it's, you know, the Jordan Henderson situation, for example, whether it's that kind of thing. So there's a lot of nuance in the Liverpool situation. I've tried, you know, hopefully I've put it across reasonably well, but on this occasion, you know, I felt the need to give an opinion in the sense of I think Liverpool do need to sign a midfielder. They do need to sign a forward before the end of the window. And if they don't, and then they find themselves in October and they're not in the title race, well, they've only got themselves to blame.
You know what, mate? I fully agree with you. I agree with your opinions in the article as well as what you've said there. And for my two cents worth, I think everybody knows who watches Redmen TV that I think Liverpool need a midfielder and an attacker to challenge. Not challenge, but to win the Premier League. I think we'll challenge regardless. But my sort of opinion, I said this last year, is that I think you get a small window where you can win the Premier League with a side that you've got already. Now, Manchester United and Sir Alex Ferguson were amazing at continually evolving that group of players over the course of his however many years he was there. But really, there was a 20-year period where he built maybe 3, 4 or 5 at a push sides. It's very difficult to build a side that wins the Premier League. Liverpool had one. And it's still got the core of that side, but it needs evolving at some point. Maybe not this season, maybe next season is what Liverpool are thinking. I think you've got 4 years of a window, to be perfectly honest, where you can win the league. I think we pissed one away last season, to be quite frank, with us not signing a centre-half in the summer when Lovren went. You know, it was an opinion shared by a lot of other people. Some agreed with it at the time, some didn't. I thought you were shortening that window by a year. I just wonder, and it's sort of, what's the right word? It's compounded by the fact that you see Manchester City potentially going to go and sell, buy £200 million worth of players. Yeah. It's compounded by the fact that Manchester United, they've just bought Varane and they've just brought Sancho and stuff. And that makes you feel bad as a Liverpool fan because you see this. It doesn't necessarily translate to they're going to be better. Yeah. It doesn't, because we've seen signings like Veron, we spoke about a few weeks ago, where I thought he was going to come in and that was going to cement Manchester United. Didn't kind of work out. But before the season starts, Di Maria, before the season starts, that's where you get into that opinion where, oh my God, everybody's doing something and we're not, we're sat still. Man United finished above us last season and they've added. So when you think of it like that, I know Liverpool weren't at the best and stuff, and I do genuinely believe Liverpool can challenge City for the title, but I think we need a lot of things to go our way again. We're reliant on, you know, no injuries to Naby Keita, no injuries to Oxlade-Chamberlain, two things you mentioned in your article there, because we've got three midfielders, James Milner you mentioned in your article. We're reliant on Virgil van Dijk coming back off a 9-10 month absence and being himself again. Same with Joe Gomez, Joe Matip, you're relying on him, not you're relying on Konate getting the system and getting ready and being good to go. I just think Liverpool need are taking a chance. They're taking a big risk, to be quite honest with you. And I don't know whether you agree. Well,
I do. I mean, especially, you know, if Naby Keita had left Liverpool this summer, would you say they needed a midfielder? That's probably a fair question. You know, if Ox had left on a free, or Naby Keita or James Milner, would you say Liverpool need a midfielder?
But because he didn't play enough games.
Wijnaldum, who was captain, he captained the club in his last game. You know, he played 51 times last season. Not only Salah played as many. He missed 11 games through injury in the league in his time at Liverpool. You know, you're not losing someone from the squad. You're losing, you know, the glue that held the midfield together last season, you know, when everything went to pot. So that's why I think there's such a need for a midfielder. If you were saying, you know, I don't think Liverpool need to sign a replacement for Shaqiri. They need to sign someone who's going to contribute more than Shaqiri, you know, but they need to sign someone who can challenge the front three, which Shaqiri didn't really do. It's not that, you know, it's not a question of sort of replacing departing players, apart from Wijnaldum, who was a starter, and that's the issue there. That's why I can't believe Liverpool would go into it with a midfield, especially given, and I think another point to make in the article, and I'm giving it a good plug, but the midfield that we're talking about that's going to start the season probably, or the ideal midfield, it's only played together once. You don't even know how it works. And it worked quite well against Everton. It did look good and it looked great on paper, but it's only played together once. You might get to the point where you go, do you know what? Thiago, Henderson, Fabinho just hasn't got it. You know, they're all doing the same thing, or they're all, you know, it just doesn't work quite as well. So there's a lot of unknown in there. And I think Liverpool would be well advised, I think, to get another player in, basically, certainly a midfielder and probably a forward. I think two at least.
Yeah, we've just plugged Neil's article in the chat as well, so you can click on that if you want to read it. We're very near to finishing up for this one now. Did have a super chat from Ashley Frith, £5. Thank you so much, Ashley. Hi, guys. Do you think Man United, Varane, Sancho and City, Kane, Grealish, that will mean that we do business, or do you think we are done for now? I'm going to hand that one over to Mr. Neil Jones from Goal, because I don't want to answer that, because I don't want the criticisms of my answer.
Yeah, I don't think Liverpool will get to the end of the window and not do anything else. I think, look, the suggestion is, and I know Karl Markham got a lot of pelters on this because he reported, you know, accurately that sort of the saying from the club is unless something dramatic happens, they're not in the midst of sort of signing someone. But I think what that means is if the perfect deal's there, they'll do it. But you know, they're not just going to sort of go right August the 18th.
Andy Carroll,
yeah, Andy Carroll. You know, Ozan Kabak, I suppose would fall. Ben Davis, you know, fall into that category. You know, it's going to be a lot more methodical and formulated than that. What United have done is good business first and foremost, and it really does improve their chances of winning the Premier League first and foremost, but other trophies as well. Varane and Sancho are two great signings, you know. Don't know if it forces Liverpool to the table, same with City, but I think what it might do is it might flush the market and create some opportunities. So you've got, let's say, Dortmund, obviously they've already bought a player, so you've got PSV going by a player to replace Marlon, then you've got a little bit of movement in the market. If Spurs sell Kane and Villa sell Grealish, and you've got all sorts of movement in the market that just sets wheels in motion. So you've got, you know, Villa going with 100 million to spend, Spurs with 100 plus million to spend, issues like that. So that might help Liverpool's cause in that regard, that, you know, you've got a little bit more fluidity. But I don't think Liverpool would be reacting necessarily to United and City. I think Liverpool are comfortable enough in their position that they'll do what they think's right. But my personal opinion, and it is just my opinion, it's based a little bit on what conversations I've had, but more so my opinion, I don't think Liverpool will draw stumps at this stage. There's still more than a month of the window left. I still think there's something to be done.
Okay, well, I hope you're right. I really do. We've made 30 million quid. Bloody hell. I mean, we're all Liverpool fans at the end of the day. That's what it comes down to, doesn't it? We all want to see the nice, shiny new toys, but whether we're going to spend 100 million on our nice, shiny new toys, probably not. Thank you very much for watching. We're going to go over and record the Transfer Insight Extra Show, available on the redmentv.com later on today. Neil, thank you for joining me for this one. Thank you to everybody who's joined in with the chat as well, and we'll see you all tonight for the game.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.